Across the UK, across continental North America, and around the world on the internet, by webcast and by podcast, my name is Howard Hughes, and this is a special edition of The Unexplained. And it's a special edition because it is going to be shorter than other editions that we've done for a very good reason. I've been able to get hold of somebody that you have urgently wanted me to get hold of to talk about a story that is in the news right now around the world. If you read the Daily Mail in the United Kingdom and other newspapers too, or in fact any newspaper around the world, you may well have seen mention of this, in quotes, UFO at the bottom of the Baltic Sea, which is being explored by a team of divers. Now, this thing, which is something like 18 metres long, is circular and appears to have a tail. It looks a little bit like that ship from Star Wars. What was it, the Millennium Falcon? Looks a little like that. It is raised from the seabed about, 13 feet or so, maybe more than that. It has a sort of pathway leading up to it, almost like it slid along this thing, if the pictures that I'm seeing are to be believed. And the team leader, a guy called Peter Lindbergh, who we're about to speak to, I've got hold of him, admits to being sceptical at first, but completely baffled. The latest reports from this thing in the last 24, 48 hours are that equipment being used by divers approaching this thing within 200 metres or so has been cutting out. Why is that? Well, we've heard stories about UFOs affecting electrical equipment. Is this what we're dealing with here, or is it something else? Thank you very much to Adam Cornwell at Creative Hotspot in Liverpool for reacting really fast to this. Adam, thank you, getting it out to you really quickly. This is a bit of an exclusive to us here at The Unexplained. Our website, www.theunexplained.tv. That's the place to go to leave me feedback, send me your thoughts, ideas, guest suggestions, donations for the show, whatever. www.theunexplained.tv. You are with a special edition of The Unexplained. It'll be business as normal next time round, but this time, let's get on now. Diver Peter Lindbergh, and we'll talk about whatever they have found at the bottom of the Baltic Sea. Peter, thank you for coming on The Unexplained. Can you tell me the story of this object that you found on the floor of the Baltic Sea, how you came to discover this thing and where we are now?
The story starts last year, and it was when we were out on a wreck expedition, and we were looking for wrecks from the First World War, which some of them contains champagne and cognac and such things in their cargoes. And it was on the last day, and we were on our way home, and it had been a miserable 10 days with the boat that nearly sank and the drunken captain and so on. But on our way home, we knew that we were going to pass an area where it could be a wreck. So we put in our search equipment and started searching, and after a couple of hours this circle just turned up, and we were quite surprised by its shape and the size of it.
Well, you must have seen a lot of things on the seabed, I would guess, Peter. Why was this different?
Very much because of the size. I have seen things that looks round before, but they are like 10 or 15 meters or something, and then you can often for yourself describe it as a, well, it must be something that is has been dumped from a ship, or it's a natural formation, not bigger than that size. But since this was nearly 60 meters in diameter, we kind of reacted, and it looked strange, we thought, and we thought, as everyone else, it looked like a UFO or the Millennium Falcon, for that fact.
Right, because you know that's what the pictures looked like. But was your first thought, perhaps, as many people might have been, is the equipment telling me lies here? Am I getting the right readings?
Yeah, absolutely. And I told the other guys that, hello, we have a UFO here, haha. But we continued with our search, because at that moment, we couldn't really take in what we had seen. And since we were out at the 11th hour, as we say in Swedish, we didn't have time to stop to do a proper survey of it. So we continued with the side scan zoning for a couple of hours, and then we left the area and headed for home.
All right, and then, did you, presumably you thought about this a lot. You must have asked experts about this, and if you did, what did they tell you?
The thing is, when we got home, we talked about it and we were looking at the pictures that we had recorded. And, it looked very strange. And I was of the belief that it might be something wrong with the sonar, which makes it look so round. It might be some distortions or something. Anyway, we took it further and we asked some experts and even some experts in side scan sonar equipment. It looked like what we saw was an object that really looked like that, and it was no distortions and anything. So after a while, we were in contact with the media, but not because of this, but we just told them, like, here's another thing that we found. Hmm. And after that, everything went just berserk.
So even at that stage, the media were interested?
Yeah, and that was in the beginning of July last year.
And presumably between then and now, of course, the winter in that area, we all know as Europeans, the winter's pretty hard. The conditions in the Baltic Sea are not the best. So if you want to achieve anything and go back down there, presumably you had to leave it another year, more or less, to now.
Yeah, we noticed immediately the interest, and we asked from different directions if we could go back and have a look what it is, and we said, of course, but we need money to do it, and we're quite short of time because we can do it till September and then it's too late. And we were contacted by many different persons, some more strangers than others.
When you say more strange than others, were you contacted by the first thing I would have thought, and a lot of people listening to this show, because of the kind of show this is, that security agencies in America and perhaps the United Kingdom might have been in touch to talk with you?
No, not really. We have been contacted by persons who says they are agents in some way, but we don't really believe that, and we haven't been they haven't tried to stop us in any way, we were contacted by persons who said that, okay, I will pay for this. And then we had some meetings and telephone conferences and so on. And then suddenly everything just, it was nothing. So we were quite delayed because of some persons. But anyway, we passed the last date when we could go out, and we had to wait actually till now.
Well, I guess the good news is that if you couldn't go out, nobody else could go out, so they couldn't explore what you discovered.
No, exactly. But it's not so easy either because, Finland, Sweden, maybe one or two teams in the Baltic countries, but we are maybe just four or five teams which doing this kind of work around here. So it's not much of competitors, and it costs quite a lot of money. So,
how much exactly has it cost so far, Peter? Can you tell me?
So far, I guess we have spent like €150,000.
Okay.
So far, and it cost us approximately €7,000 per day.
But now you've got some commercial sponsorship, so at least you've got a bit of backing to do this, haven't you?
We have backing to do this now, and we can spend another 2 weeks, but then the money is gone.
Okay, now you started making the headlines, certainly here in the UK, in a paper called the Daily Mail that enjoys stories like this, as its readers do. About a week or so ago, they kind of picked this up again, and they've started to say all sorts of things about this object, or whatever it might be, that you found. On the basis of what you've seen of it now in the new exploration, how does it look? Tell me how it's placed and what does it look like?
It looks, first of all, it's very bad visibility. We can't see more than 1 meter, maybe 1.5. So it's very difficult to get the overview with just video. And the divers have had the same problem. They are moving around on the object, but they don't really know where they are. They have taken some photos, though, which you may have seen in the newspapers.
I have, but I'm also reading reports, certainly in the papers yesterday and the day before here in the UK, that anybody getting within 200 metres of this thing with electrical gear, then the electrical supply was cut off, and that's why you don't have more pictures. Is that right?
Not really. We have had problems with some electronics, that's for sure. But it was we couldn't talk in the satellite phone when we were laying over the object. And when we moved away, just, 100 meters or so, the satellite phone worked again. The divers had problem with the video camera. We had problem with the ROV, the camera robot's sonar. We didn't have any problem with the video camera. There were some problems, but it wasn't like all electronics were, cut off.
Knocked out.
In any way.
And have you ever experienced in that area anything like that before?
I haven't spent time in this area in that way, but when we are searching wreck, we always have problems, and if they are if they are electronics, or if the boat is sinking or whatever, it always different kind of problem. So I didn't really put too much attention to these things, but it happened, and some electronic things didn't work out there.
Now, when you know more about whatever this might be, whatever you know about it, is the ultimate aim to try to raise it, or to try to get pieces of it and bring them back up?
Yeah, we have brought some stone samples up, but that's only stones that are laying loose on it. Next time, we will try to get a sample from the actual surface, which looks a bit odd. It's more like a very smooth concrete surface than what we usually see as rocks look like.
Some people here have been saying that it might have been some kind of Cold War undersea monitoring station. Is that a possibility? It's very big if it was.
Well, from my point of view and what I know today, I would say if it is constructed in any way, it is a pre-Ice Age construction. It is not made after the Ice Age.
What is it that makes you think that?
Because of these stones lying on the object, I don't think the stones would be there if it hadn't been for the ice, because when the ice sheet was like 3 kilometers thick, and it was quite a lot of gravel and stones and such things binded to the ice. And when the ice melted, it dropped all these stones, and we can see it here in the, I can look out from the window here and I see stones in the woods.
So in other words, if it hadn't been down there for that length of time, assuming it is that old, then stones like that couldn't be lying on top of it.
Exactly. So for me, I'm not saying it's not constructed, but I'm saying that if it is a construction, it's made before the Ice Age.
Mm. Okay, for that reason, because of those stones. What do you think of the theories that this is some kind of UFO? It certainly looks like that, but that's a big stretch of people's imagination, isn't it?
Yeah. I would say, I can't say it is not a UFO because I don't have all the answers yet. And this object has surprised me a lot. I was quite convinced before we went there that we would find a big rock or something that we could say this is very natural, but okay, it's have a unique look. But things are getting more and more strange the more we can have a look at it. And we haven't been investigated enough yet to say what it is or what it not is.
Now, you say things are getting more strange the more you see of it. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, for example, I don't know if you heard about this transception guys in the United States. They are, what do you call it? Well, they have worked for CIA and so on. They are saying they have worked for them.
Yeah.
And they have had a picture of this, the sonar image, in a closed envelope, and then they are doing some... they think, they say it looks like a pillow box or a bunker, or it's a round shaped and so on. And one of them said that it has holes, which they're streaming energy. I didn't put anything, I didn't believe in this when I saw it. But then suddenly we found a hole on this structure. And of course I started to think, oh my God, here we have a hole, which we don't know how deep it is or what's coming out of it.
And when you say a hole, how big is this thing as far as you know? Is it a meter or more?
No, it's like 25 centimeters in diameter.
Okay, so if it was some kind of, or had been some kind of ventilation or some kind of vent for exhaust gases, it'd be that kind of size, I presume.
Yeah, maybe. And we don't know if there are any more holes, because we have just been able to see a few percentage of the surface of the area, of the entire area, kind of. So it might be more holes. And the holes, maybe they are there because of natural causes. I don't know, but they surely look like portholes or something.
And these people you've been in dialogue with, you're telling me that they're ex-CIA, is that right?
Yeah, they are saying they are ex-CIAs and what do you say in England, MOD, Ministry of Defense people, and so.
But the interesting thing is that nobody, from what you said at the beginning, has tried to stop you. So if it was anything to do with security, you would have thought that somebody would have tapped you quietly on the shoulder and said, Peter, be careful here.
Yeah, exactly. But we haven't come across that yet.
All right, well, we're in the middle of the summer here in Europe. What's the time scale? What are you going to do next?
We will go out again in 1 or 2 weeks from now and spend some more days, and we will make a better plan how to continue the survey. We will try to get a better overview with the ROV video camera, and then also we will try to see if the circle itself is separated from it looks like it's standing on a pillar which is about 8 meters high, and then the circle is on top of that, and the circle is about 3 or 4 meters thick, but we don't know yet if they are separated or if they are the same object.
But from everything you said, it's the strangest thing that you've ever come across on the ocean bed, on the ocean floor.
Yeah, absolutely, so far.
Okay, well, I wish you luck with the exploration, Peter. Will you keep in touch with me about that? Because I'm very keen, and my listeners all over the world are very keen to know more about this. You know, America has hundreds and hundreds of people who are interested in UFOs. I would presume that some of those people have been putting their thoughts to you about this and have been getting in touch to tell you what they think it is?
Yeah, absolutely. And we have also quite a lot of people think it might be flying crafts, which the Germans made at the end of the World War II. But as I told you moments ago, I don't think it's anything constructed after the Ice Age. But, I mean, someone told me, who has decided that the UFO or an alien intelligent life form must make a UFO out of a metal? Why don't take an asteroid and do a spacecraft of that? Well, I don't know today.
Well, I presume if it is a UFO, you know, they wouldn't be using metals and technology that we would know anything about. Presumably, they would have stuff that we don't know about, and that's what makes this even more intriguing.
Yeah, exactly. So I can just say I don't know, really. We don't have all the facts yet, so not everything is possible, but very, very much is possible.
And Peter, you and your team, there's Dennis Arsberg, isn't there, who's also part of this, but a lot of other people involved in this. How do you all feel about being at the centre of the world's media attention right now? Because, you know, you told me, I tried to phone you yesterday when I got hold of your number, and you said, you know, I get at least 100 voicemails per day. Is it difficult to be at the centre of so much attention now?
Yeah, it's... Well, you have to sort it out, kind of, because you can't make everyone happy, and it is a lot of interest right now, and, well, we're not used to it. Okay, when we have found champagne and so on at our earlier expeditions, there have been interest, but not like this. Dennis has got like 150,000 mails
wow.
to his mailbox, so it has crashed for him several times. So, it is a big interest. We're not used to it, and I hope it will get calmer in a couple of weeks or so.
So I would presume that within a month or so, you're hoping to have some more answers. You're going to go down there in a couple more weeks. That'll take us well into July. And by the time you've collated all that information, presumably it's going to be August. But by then, you should know a lot more?
Yeah, either the media interest will be much higher because we have come across something very, very unusual, or the media interest will kind of die out, I guess, if we have to say that it's only a natural formation.
If people want to read about your exploration, I know you have a website. What is it, Peter?
It is oceanxteam.com.
All right, and we'll link to that at the Unexplained website as well. Peter, I wish you well. Please keep in touch, stay safe, and I'll check in with you in a couple of weeks if I may. Thank you very much, Peter Lindbergh. Take care.
Thank you.
Peter Lindbergh from Sweden talking about whatever it is they have discovered on the bottom of the Baltic Sea. And as you heard, investigations and tests continue on this thing. We'll bring you news as we get it. This has been a special edition of The Unexplained. Next time, business as normal. My name is Howard Hughes. Thank you to Adam Cornwell at Creative Hotspot for getting this out to you so quickly. Please take care, spread the word about the show, keep the faith, and I'll see you soon with another edition of The Unexplained.